We're looking at Matthew chapter 2, the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 2, I want to preach for a little while about how the wise men celebrated. We're going to look in this passage where the wise men are talked about and as they come to Bethlehem. And as you find your place in Matthew 2, I did hear this story about the wise men. I heard actually about a little girl that was, she was from West Virginia. She was, she was a good girl. She's from West Virginia, aren't they all? But she was country as cornbread, though. She just had a heavy accent. She is country as can be. But she was a wonderful artist. And so she was always painting things in a class and for her teachers and whatnot. So she decided on Christmas time she's going to paint a nativity scene. And she painted it all. She had a beautiful job. The manger and Joseph and Mary and the donkey. And, of course, baby Jesus and the star, all of it. And over off the side, she had painted these three men in fireman suits. They had the hat on, had a long fire coat, had an axe hanging, holding there. And her teacher said, "Oh, this is so beautiful. I love the baby Jesus, love the manger, love all of it." And she said, "But now I do have a question about these folks over here, these firemen." She said, "Yeah." He said, "No, those are supposed to." She said, "I don't know if those are supposed to be there." She said, "Oh, yeah, they're supposed to be here." And she said, "I'm not sure." Her teacher said, again, "I didn't want to hurt her creativity." She said, "I'm not sure." And she said, "Well, why did you paint those in there?" She said, "Well, those are the wise men." She said, "Oh, really? They're the wise men. I don't get it. Why are they like that?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "I've been here. My dad all my life has said they came from afar." So, accent on the heavy accent. They came from afar. Like as in out here in the courtyard, we're going to have some fars going here and just on Wednesday night. You need me to explain it further? I mean, I'm from West Virginia. I got it the first time, but I understand that we operate on a different level up there. So we want to talk about the wise men this morning and how the wise men celebrated. You know that we're looking at Matthew chapter 2 when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it's written by the prophet." As we pause right there, they knew where he's going to be. That's what the scripture says. You look back in the Old Testament, verse number 6, and thou Bethlehem, the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Liar, liar, robe on fire. He didn't want to worship him, you know. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east, which went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I want to preach for a little while about how the wise men celebrated. Father, be with us now in this time, and may we learn what we need to know so we can worship you better. And then, dear Lord, of course, as Brother Danny prayed earlier, if there be one or a few that are unsaved, not sure they know the Christ child of Christmas as their Savior, pray they'd be saved in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many wise men were there? Most people say, "Well, there's three. I've seen on all the Christmas cards and whatnot." And you understand that they would have come a little later. We see there they came to the house and where the young child was. But you say, how many wise men was there? There was three on there. Well, the Bible doesn't say how many there were. Most people put that in some imagery, but because of the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, chances are there was probably more than that many, because if three guys came along that far of a trip, they might not have been able to make it for one thing, and then they might not have got a hearing with Herod if there had just been three guys came and said, "Well, we want to talk to him," and they may not have let him. But regardless, we don't know, but we know there were several. We see this caravan of astronomers as they're coming. They were great ones to check the skies, and we call them magi because of the word that comes, the root where we get magician from. And history would tell us because those wise men, they were in some of those early days, they were known for doing science experiments. And so many people called them magicians, or the word that came, we get magician from. But regardless, we call them magi. And Daniel in the Old Testament would have been probably labeled one of those many hundred years later. But some 400 or 500 years later, Daniel, our prophet, would have been maybe called one of those and been called a wise man. But we want to look this morning what we learn from these guys as they make this journey. Now, we said that they make quite a long journey, and we're going to find out, as the scripture says in verse number 2, that we see that they sacrifice to get there this long of way. At the end of the verse it says, and they are come to worship him. They traveled from Persia, ancient Babylon, over there to see this Christ child, to see this new king, and would be about 1,000 miles. It would have been their journey again, which would have probably meant that there was a large caravan of them, not just three guys trekking out over the dangerous terrain there. But regardless, they would have coming this way. And I love what the scripture says in verse number 2, where it says, we have seen his star. You understand, when you put all the stars up in existence, as God spoke this world into existence, and the sun, the moon, the stars, hung them all by his word, you can certainly dispatch one to lead a few wise men over there to where they need to get be. But we see that we have seen his star. But I look at these guys and we see they sacrifice. You say, well, how would they have connected a star to a king? Well, back, if you studied all out, back in Numbers 24, verse number 17, Balaam, that old disobedient prophet in many ways, he prophesied about a star and a scepter. And there's an old, you remember Balaam, the one that the donkey talked to, and Balaam, the one that was reluctant to curse. He didn't want to curse the people of God because God wouldn't let him. But there's an old legend that says that he was one of the early members of the Magi, possibly the founder of that group as they came in. But regardless, we see that these wise men, as they came, they sacrificed. Respected and wealthy wherever they come from. But they sacrificed the thing that really took the most amount of diligence, and that was they sacrificed themselves to come these hundreds of miles to see a newborn king. Remember, I mentioned last week that the shepherds, they were the first ones to get there sometime before the wise men would have come, and they were certainly announcing the birth of the Christ child, but they weren't the upper echelon of society. The shepherds weren't, but now these magi, they were. They would have been the elite. They would have been the ones that were respected in their fields. And God used them to come and to give the gifts. And it's interesting. There's so many things that the Bible doesn't exactly say, but it could be that they brought these gifts, these gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This family was going to need to go to Egypt before long. And these expensive gifts very well could have been sold to finance the trip. But regardless of whether they did or not, God says in the word that these men, they sacrificed themselves. It's amazing to see God's working. And I thought about as we looked there in verse number 4, where we saw that Herod says, well, where is this fellow going to be born at? Where is this? And they knew right away because of the scripture that was already teaching that. Back in Daniel chapter 9, verse number 24, it even talks about the timing that this would all happen. And so it wasn't only a mystery of where the Christ child would be born, if they were Bible students, but when he would be born in that region of time or in time period of time. And so we see, though, that these wise men, they gave themselves. Do you ever notice how it's easier? I mean, assuming it's not a horrendous amount of money, how it's easier to pay than it is to go do something? I know many people who would rather give $20 to go do something or give somebody $20 to go do something than they would take the time. But do you understand? And sometimes that's well and good. But sometimes in our lives, whoever, regardless of who it is, or depending, I should say, on who it is, sometimes you are needed more than your money's needed. And we see these wise men as they sacrificed the thing that they didn't have any more than anybody else. And that was they sacrificed their time. We all get the same 24 hours a day. And then these wise men, they sacrificed themselves by going these long distances to see the Christ child. But look on verse 11, if you would. Not only did they sacrifice, but they also gave. In verse number 11, it says at the end of the verse, "And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." They were coming to give gifts to someone they regarded as a king, so they brought gifts. Interesting about all those gifts that were given, the gold for royalty and the frankincense for priestly duties and that might be, and then the myrrh oftentimes used in embalming or preparing a body for burial, which Christ was going to do some 33 years later. But I see that these wise men, they gave the gifts, and undoubtedly they knelt down before him to give and to yield to him the reverence that was due his name. And we see that they gave the things, the possessions that they have. But really, isn't it a simple thing to figure out that when you love someone, you give? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the most familiar verse in all of the Scripture. And these wise men, they gave. Do you know what the most popular stone to put in an engagement ring is? Everyone would know it. It's losing some possibly, but still the most popular stone to put in an engagement ring for a couple is a diamond. It wasn't always that way. Back before World War II, I'm told that only about 10% of engagement rings had diamonds in them. Maybe that was because people weren't as wealthy. They didn't have as much access, possibly. But if you enter into the De Beers Corporation, and this was a corporation from London that took full ownership of huge diamond mines in South Africa. So as they took ownership of these huge diamond mines in South Africa and where they were mined out of there, they had a product that really wasn't as valued in the world as they wanted it to be because they were putting all their stock in this. And then with the help of the NWA or Ad Corporation, in 1948, they came up with a slogan. In 1948, they came up with a slogan of which in 1999, this slogan was named the number one slogan of the entire century. And that slogan that the Ayers Ad Company came up with is this in 1948, "A diamond is forever." With that and a lot of clever marketing and, of course, the help of this corporation that was for a while fought against because of some antitrust laws, but with the help of these things, then you and I know diamonds, no offense, ladies, but are a girl's best friend. That's what someone said. Regardless of whether you should or shouldn't put them in there, if your ring has them, great. If it doesn't, that's great too, because there's been a lot of rings that have been put on fingers that there wasn't love behind the ring, and they'd been better to have the love without the ring than the ring without the love. But regardless of all that, when you love someone, you give. As I said, the God of all creation loved the world so much. He did not send an angel. He sends some angels to announce the birth as errand boys, so to speak. He didn't send a light show from heaven, although he did end up with the multitude of heavenly hosts. There probably was a lot of lights, but he didn't send that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so the greatest love or gift of love that's ever been given is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the wise men, though, as they knelt undoubtedly before the Lord Jesus Christ, they did the best they could in giving valuable gifts of the day. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And these wise men would have given out of love and respect. Often we get gifts into the church through the mail. Somebody will send a check for something. Maybe something in their life is blessed, or they come into a certain funds or whatnot. You know, I never look and see what's given, but a lot of times Bert or Phyllis will tell us such amount was given. Or sometimes when this time of year comes, we have taken the pinpointed the area of the Philippines as our area to give our birthday offering for Jesus. All of our missionaries in the Philippines, we're going to take the money that's given for the birthday offering for Jesus and give it to their certain projects they've got going on, some orphanages and some sports ministries. and some homeless help and different things over in the Philippines. And people will give to that. They say, well, I'm going to give to my other family members. I want to give something to Jesus. And I encourage everybody to. My wife and I, we do. And it doesn't matter how much you give, but I think it's a good practice to get into. But we do that because we love the Lord. People send in things to this church because they love the Lord. You give money in the offering plate because you say, Lord, I want to do something tangible to show that I love you. You know my heart, dear Lord, but I want to do something on the outside that would show that. And these wise men, they did what they did because of love and respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how they celebrated. So I see, first of all, they sacrifice. They sacrifice the thing that regardless of your wealth or your lack thereof, that you have as much and no more than everybody else. They sacrifice their time. And when you do something this week that doesn't take $100,000, but that you can't buy back for $1 million, when you do something, you give your time to somebody this week, you're showing your love for them. Some of you are helping with family members or loved ones or great friends that are unable to get out and about. What you're doing is you're showing that person that you're giving your time because that's the thing that you can't replace. You give them a $100 bill, you can go earn some money and replace it. But you can't get back that time. And these wise men, they sacrificed. Not only did they sacrifice, but they gave their possessions. But I want you to look on in verse number 12 as we look through this familiar story. We see also that they left forever changed. The Bible says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. These men would have honored the position of the king. That's why they came to Herod, because they want to check in. And certainly he'll know if there's some other royalty in his dominion here. And so they checked in. They honored the position of the king, and Herod was no different. But what God did in their heart made them challenge their own beliefs, because they checked in with Herod and they had every intention. I'm sure the Bible doesn't indicate they didn't. Had every intention to check out with him on their way to leave. But something happened in their heart to make them disregard what Herod, the king, the ruler, which was not very smart of them to do. Because you understand what power that the king would have held in his hand if somebody defied an order that he'd given. But they disregarded what he had said, and they went home a different way and didn't listen to what the king had said they would do. Well, clearly Joseph, Mary, and the babe, the young child, were no threat. They didn't have the clout in society. They had no military presence. But Herod had both. And they posed no threat to the wise men, but yet they had disobeyed the order of the king because they were forever changed. And you say, what's the big deal? Just went home a different way. No, to disobey the order of the king was a huge deal. And they did it because of what God had done in the heart of those wise men. Nothing can change a heart like God can. There's been people by the thousands that have come to this church or churches like this, and because of maybe a New Year's resolution, maybe because of a tough time in their life, maybe because of some situations going on, they thought, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. And they came and sat in these pews or pews like them at some other church, and they stayed not very long because they were trying to do all they could on the outside to make a great change. But you understand that lasting change happens from the inside out, not from the outside in. And my friend, if you're one of those that are sitting in church because you've come, I applaud you for that, humanly speaking. If you came to church because I need to make a change in my life, I'm glad you're here. But the real change in your life won't be because you decide to come and get on a roll at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church or some other church. The real change in your life will not be because you're going to come 32 Sundays in a row. The real change in your life is not because you're going to spiff up and put a tie and a suit on or a dress and somehow think you're ready. The real change is going to come when you let Christ into your life and for the forgiveness of sins. And as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And these wise men, they left forever changed. I read a story of a native that was in an area where a missionary had come, and the missionary had planted this church, and the missionary wasn't there at that particular time, but he had a lot of helpers in the church. And one of the natives that the missionary had been ministering to for some time came, and God was really working on him. And he came to that church, and he said this to the helpers. He says, "If Jesus is anything like the missionary is, I want him." All because of a changed life in the missionary. You don't have people change your life because you put a steeple up on top of a building and somehow that puts protection over everybody that gathers in the inside. You don't get a change of your eternal destination because you came and you come and you take the Lord's Supper, or you come and you kneel at an altar, you come and you do this. You don't do that through some religious activity, my friend. The only way that you find yourself in heaven one of these days when eternity begins for you is that you trust Christ as Savior. You put your faith in Him alone. And this church has now, for 245 years, has continued to thunder out that message that there's only one way to heaven. You can dress up, clean up, act up, not act up. You can do all those things, and it doesn't matter at all. The only way to come to heaven, or go to heaven rather, is to come through the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And these wise men, regardless of what all they knew as far as who he was, they certainly honored him, but in their life, they certainly physically went away a different way than they came. And if you're here this morning or listening on radio or live stream, and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd love, and my prayer is and has been, that you would go home a different way. Not that you take a different route from here to wherever your house is, but that spiritually you'd go home a different way. You'd take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So how the wise men celebrated Christmas has laid out for us. But how will you celebrate Christmas? Will you allow Him to change you? If you're not born again, you're not saved, would you allow Christ to come into your life and wash your sins away? Will you allow Him your possessions like the wise men did? Here's some things that we value. We're going to gladly give them to the Lord. You say, "Pastor, I knew you'd get to it. You want us to give money." I don't want you to give anything. If the Lord leads you to, then I think you should. I will tell you this, that I watched about a week ago, we had a missionary back here in the back, and I watched several of you folks as you went out, you gave him money, and you valued what the Lord had done on your heart more than you valued, I don't know what the money was, but a $20 bill or a $50 bill or a $100 bill for all I know, but you valued the Lord's leading your life more than you valued the $100 bill or $50 bill in your pocket, and you gave that to that missionary because you want to be a blessing to him as he moved on to his next preaching station. And I just think, what a wonderful picture of what I'm talking about today, because you understand that that's not normal in the world. The world would say, let's gather all we can and can all we gather and have it for when we want to do something. But these wise men, they gave. And how will you celebrate Christmas this time? I'm challenging everybody, every one of us, to give of our time this year to help somebody. It could be in the church, out of the church, in your neighborhood, out of your neighborhood. In the love of Jesus Christ and in Jesus' name, I'm challenging all of us to do something to help people this week. And let's be who we ought to be for the cause of Christ. How are you celebrating Christmas? Will you give Him yourself? Maybe you're saved. You've been thinking about all the things that you want to do in this next year. Maybe God wants to settle you down and say, He's first this year. Would you surrender? Just let Him do in your life what He wants. You say, "Pastor, what's that look like?" I don't know. There's probably 1,000 different pictures of what that looks like in our different lives. I'm not so interested in what it looks like afterwards. I'm more interested in what it looks like before. And the before part is saying, "Lord, I'm yours. I yield myself to you." The greatest gift you can give is not to give $100 in the offering plate for the birthday offering for Jesus. The greatest gift you can give is say, "Lord, I'm here. I'm yours. I'm yours." And isn't that the way we're supposed to live all the time anyways? I'm bought with a price. I'm the Lord's already. He saved me. All I'm doing today is reminding you, let's just reposition ourselves in that spot to say, "Lord, I'm yours. This is how the wise men celebrated Christmas. They sacrificed themselves. They gave of their possessions. But boy, when they got there, they left a different way. And I hope that we would leave a different way as well. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I pray that you do a good work in our lives. Lord, I love Christmas time. But then when it gets close, I want to hold it all in and not let it pass. So Lord, we can't do that. But what we can do is stop for a moment and say, how would I want to celebrate all this week in Jesus' name? How would I want to celebrate? And then, dear Lord, we can go do it. I pray that you would help us celebrate the right way, the godly way, the biblical way, by serving, by loving. Lord, I pray if there's somebody needs to be saved, they'd get saved. I pray if there's a Christian that needs to quit chasing after all of our dreams. And Lord, we just present ourselves to your plan for our life. Bless us, I pray, dear Father, in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies begin to play something through? As they play, and if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. If you're here today, and you've been chasing after so many other things, but as a Christian, you're going to say today, Lord, I'm giving myself as a present. I'm giving you me. That must be welcome hearing to the Lord. You can come share your heart with the Lord at this altar. You can share it there in your seat. Say, Lord, I'm yours. About time that I give myself to you. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved. There's a reason Christ came to this earth. Wasn't to give us all these wonderful stories. Wasn't to give us a time to give gifts to each other. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to die on the cross for you. If you're here today and you don't know him as your personal Savior, Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit. He would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved. If you're a lady, he would have a lady deal with you. Would you step out and come? Maybe there's some other need you have on your heart. Maybe you need to be baptized. Lord willing, we're going to baptize somebody next Christmas Eve, or this Christmas, next week on Christmas Eve morning. Maybe you'd like to join them. You come present yourself for that. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Come present yourself for membership. Whatever the Lord's leading you to do. I'm just going to ask him to play one more verse. This one's yours. But let's not leave this way. Let's pretend we're those wise men. Let's not leave without changing. They came to see Christ. They left a different way physically. May we leave a different way spiritually today than we came. Closer to the Lord, more dedicated to Him, yielded to Him. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's been a real joy to be in church this morning. Choir, thank you for singing that song. Miss Becca, thank you for the part in that. Ensemble, thank you for singing. And everybody that's had a great part in it, thank you, thank you. And thank you for being here. And I realize that folks get traveling back and forth. We're looking forward to, if you can be here on Wednesday night, though, for the Christmas in the Courtyard right after the service. Have a good time together and looking forward to all that we're having. And then, of course, don't forget the little change in schedule next week for Christmas Eve. And let's use that as a tool to have somebody in church with us. It would be a wonderful time. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel, if you don't mind, to slip to the pulpit and ask God's blessings on us as we leave. And Amy and I will be back in the back. We've got some any teenagers or younger, we've got some treats in a basket back there. Come see us. We've got something for you. Even some of you teenagers at heart, we might let you slip in. We'll see.
Father, thank you so much for a wonderful message this morning, a wonderful time together in church. And Lord, it's so great to be able to worship you and to be able to worship you together. And we thank you so much for coming to this earth that we celebrate at Christmas time. Lord, I pray you bless us as we go. Bring us back for a great program with the kids tonight. And Lord, help us have a great time as we celebrate your birth this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.